Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
Literally nothing. It's Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Nothing to complain about here. Last chance for Alice in Winterland. See One Republic. We just heard him. You could see him. You could even get a meet and greet. Here is how you get in on this. And this is the final week. It's happening Friday the 13th, this Friday. Today through Wednesday, head to RadioAlice.com and get yourself entered. This is the last chance to win a pair of tickets to the sold-out Alice in Winterland and qualify for a meet and greet with One Republic. It's sponsored by Macy's. Alice in Winterland, starring One Republic, Andy Grammer, Haven Madison, this Friday night at the Paramount Theater in Oakland. Meet you there! La, 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 la! Woo, woo. I don't know why I did your Febreze song, Ben, but it just flew out of my mouth.
Why did you do my Febreze song?
La, 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 la.
Yeah, why?
Because you're just so breezy.
You're keeping it breezy.
Keeping breezy for breezy.
Here's a couple texts. Okay.
Breezy.
You guys ruin everything. Here I was with the greatest, coolest nickname, and you ruin it.
Yeah. You can't make up your own nicknames. That's like the kind of the thing about nicknames.
510 says, I remember when I was 17, I brought home a girl that was 18, and I snuck her in so we can do it. We both fell asleep, and I woke up the next morning, and she's out there drinking coffee with my stepmom and dad. Talk about being in trouble. LOL. Good times. Well worth it.
Oh. So did they do it or just fall asleep? I need more info.
I think they did it, then they fell asleep, and then when he wakes up, she's out in the kitchen.
Having coffee.
Chit-chatting with him. I'm sure he comes walking out, and they both look at him like,
Well, we met your friend, honey.
She seems so tired and bedhead.
She came out topless. It was wonderful.
We got a nice shot of those good cans.
She did have good cans. I can still see them.
Oh.
Right now. I mean, in my head.
Wonderful. Nice memory.
Yes. Yeah. Sure.
Go on.
Oh, I go now. All right.
Sorry. I mean, there's more, but I don't want to read all the text right now.
That was nicer than Sarah this morning. I'm in the room talking, and she just goes, out with you.
No, we were talking, and we were finished, and I was just like, all right, out with you. I was just kidding.
I was cute, though.
Did you see?
I did see. I did see that. Thank you.
Out with you. Enough of you. Get out of here. But we both have a lot of work to do. God, I felt bad about it.
That's every woman in my life. Out with you.
Out with you. Off you go. Out with you.
Get out of the house. Move.
All right. I sent you in to that room to do this for me. Play me the church lady has returned to Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you are following Saturday Night Live, but I knew something had to happen because Dana Carvey's a regular on it this year. He's playing Biden, and he has been, and he's been doing it all. And as we lead up to Christmas, I'm sure he's going to continue. And he's brought back someone very special.
All right, just brought back a little bit of the monologue.
All right. You know, it's great to be back to ring out the end of 2024, the most satanic year in history. Instead of Mother Mary, little girls are looking up to the Hawktooey girl. Well, you know what I say? Instead of Hawktooey, you need to walk to a church. Everywhere you look, you've got 11-year-olds dressing up like that vixen, Sabrina Carpenter. Do you know who was the best carpenter? Jesus. He's working late, 'cause he's a savior.
Nice. Oh, my God.
Very well done.
He also, so he had a bunch of various people who came to him. Matt Gaetz is played by Sarah Sherman. Hunter Biden, played by David Spade. I can't wait to watch this today. And baseball free agent Juan Soto. Is he the $600 million man?
He's the $700 million dollar man.
What in the actual F is going on here?
He got a 15-year contract. I think the number is $735 million. You know, not that we do sports here, but I'm saying I saw that and was like, oh my gosh. And it's been in the news that, you know, they were saying that there's certain teams, including the Yankees, that are in the running for this hot young property. But all along, they've also said he's going to the Mets and they're going to pay him everything to get him.
They were joking on the show on Saturday, Saturday Night Live. That's one of the jokes that, let's see, Marcelo Hernandez is the one who played Juan Soto. Carvey and Hernandez joked about Soto signing with the New York Mets. And last night they just came down. That's exactly what he does. Do you have that whole sketch? Can we put that up on the Facebook page?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to share the Peacock stuff. That, you know, very proprietary. Oh, this is our content, and we don't want you to share it for free.
No, it's on YouTube. I got it.
All right, perfect.
I'll put it up right now.
So the church lady returned to Saturday Night Live, which is, for me, that's a big deal. Like, those were heyday skits. You know, I watch Saturday Night Live pretty regularly, and the one thing I've really noticed about this current cast is they just haven't, and even last couple of seasons, the recurring sketches are the thing to me. Like, there would be, like, you know, you look marvelous, or Martin Short characters that would be on there, and even Mango, wasn't that the guy's name that Chris Kattan used to do?
I hated the Mango bit, but okay.
Was it Mango or Manga? One of the
I don't know, whatever it was, Dango, I don't know. But there's always these recurring characters, and they come back. Like, Kristen Wiig was famous for it. Like, she did the sisters, one of them has, like, the little tiny hands.
Uh-huh.
Did I do that? Or whatever, sorry. But they always have, like, recurring characters, and I would, like, start to look for those. And the last couple seasons, they're all standalone bits. None of them is a character that they're bringing back because it's so awesome. Like, come on, you guys.
Well, I think a character has to hit in such a way that you can't not do it again.
Right. Well, they're not doing that then.
Right.
And I will say that Bo and Yang has done a couple things. I'm like, oh, more of that. Bo and Yang is just the way he looks at the camera. You're like, oh my God, he's like the funniest guy in forever. But I feel like, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, bring that back. Let that grow. Grow, expand that out. It's like they're just not doing that anymore.
He is in Wicked.
Bo and Yang is, yeah.
He's in Wicked.
What does he play? Just one of the friends?
One of, not Elphaba. Who's the other one?
Galinda.
He's one of Galinda's, like, people.
Oh, yo, bitches. We're popular. Yep. And you're not. That's my Bo and Yang impersonation, everyone. Thank you.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's great. He was also, I think he was in, no, he wasn't in Barbie. I'm thinking of Simu Liu, who gets in the chest bump match with Ken. This is astounding. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, how the ruby slippers were going to go on the auction block. Apparently they did a few pairs because you got to have a few. They are ratty looking, sequined. Oh, remember somebody had like stolen these from some collectibles museum because the guy was like, I wanted to do one last heist, see? I give them a business and I'll made them some shoes made of rubies and thought that they would be like worth all, but they're made of sequins. He couldn't take them apart for the rubies. There are no rubies. It's a bunch of couple rhinestones and red sequins. So this pair, they'd been stolen. They're recovered. They get put on the auction block. And I believe that the estimate was, I want to say it was like $3 million or something. It was,
that's what I thought. I thought it was $3 million.
It was around $3 million bucks. So did you already see this story? Do you know the price that they paid?
I don't remember.
Take a guess. Take a guess, both of you. What did Dorothy, this is one of the pairs of the ruby slippers from the actual Wizard of Oz. These were worn in the filming. And I'm going to tell you this. This is, I'm not kidding, the most expensive item of entertainment memorabilia ever sold.
$5 million.
$5,001,000.
Oh, you.
And that's not good enough. Guess again.
Like higher or lower?
Higher.
Both of us, you mean?
Both of you.
$10 million.
$20
million. $28 million for a pair of ruby slippers.
With no rubies on them.
With no rubies. They're just secrets.
Maddie, he's on the show. It's Maddie.
I don't get to play very often.
He's on the show. It's Maddie.
So listen. Not only, if you bid 20 a pair, I don't know about auctions. When you go to an auction house and you're bidding on a thing, apparently you have to pay whatever the price was, plus a bunch of premiums on top. This doesn't come out of the seller's pocket. It comes out of the person who buys it. So the person who, this happened Saturday afternoon, a pair of ruby slippers worn by Judy Garland in 1939's The Wizard of Oz fetched the all-time auction record for entertainment memorabilia. They sold Saturday afternoon for $28 million. Heritage Auctions. Who cares? The buyer's premium added on to that. The total was $32.5 million this person had to come up with. The buyer is anonymous. The previous auction record is held by the white halter dress designed by William Travilla or something like that.
Marilyn.
And worn by Marilyn Monroe in The 7 Year Itch. That's, I think that's the one she stands over the grate.
Yep.
Yes. In.
That is the former record holder for a piece of memorabilia. Again, we're talking about ruby slippers here that sold for $28 million plus a $4.5 million buyer premium.
You know, when it was last week, I believe we talked about, maybe it was because of Wicked, I'm not sure, but we were talking about The Wizard of Oz and when it came out. And I think my guess was like the 40s or 50s. And to hear it's actually more like the 30s.
39.
Is just mind-blowing that had. And I don't know the story behind The Wizard of Oz, whether that was actually a book that got made into a movie.
Yes.
Or was, oh, was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I just think like, man, the staying power. And I know they've done what they've probably done a few remakes, including The Wiz. Wasn't the one called
The
Wiz?
The Wiz, Michael Jackson.
But nothing can touch that. The original, the first thing. It's all like.
Well, not only was it, it was just like, it's such a great movie. And there weren't a lot of great movies. 1939, this was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then they colorized, they went back and colorized the Oz part when that was available to do. And that was. To me, that was the thing about it. I remember being a kid in the 70s or, you know, however old I was and watching that. And you just couldn't wait for them to get to the Emerald City when suddenly everything was in color.
It was one of the first movies in color. And it actually was kind of a, it wasn't like a huge hit when it came out. But the books from L. Frank Baum are very popular. And there's a whole bunch of Oz books, like all kinds of Oz books.
What?
Over the years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you read them all?
I haven't read them all, but I've read.
You read like, is The Wizard of Oz the first one?
The Wizard of Oz is the, I think so, but I think he writes some, I think he's, he writes some ones that are previous to that as well. But yeah, they were very popular books. So they thought the movie would be super popular. And when it came out, it was okay, but it didn't, it wasn't like it is now. It wasn't considered, you know, the, one of the great movies when it came
out. It's just in my, and I don't even love that movie.
Right.
Like I've seen it.
Yep.
But as a boy, I was like,
watch what's on TV in the old days.
Right. But now I look at it and go, Judy Garland was it, right? I mean, that's.
I love Judy Garland.
Like, how do you cast someone for that role in a modern retelling? You just can't.
They say that the runner up to get that part was Shirley Temple. But what a different movie it would have been, huh?
The movie came out, it made $3 million, but the budget was $2.7 million. They re-released it in 1949, and that's when it made a profit.
Oh.
So when it first came out.
You know what's so crazy about that? Did they play it on TV in between? Was there TV? There was no TV,
No, it
right?
was played on TV for the first time in 1956.
When did people get TV?
The 50s. I mean, they had TV.
You guys, like, we didn't even have TV in the olden days.
That's like, it's like I was saying earlier.
In my parents' lifetime, your parents' lifetime.
Yeah. And like I was saying earlier, I don't know when Google became widely used by all of us, but somewhere along the way, I went from not having access to anything to never needing a magazine or a book again.
Ever again. Libraries, it was nice knowing you.
You'd think it would stand out more.
I
but
know.
I guess it was a slow burn, right?
We just work these things in and they become the expected thing.
Right.
It's like bitching about your internet being slow. What? You're mad because the magic is going a little bit slower? Like every time I get on a flight to go to home and see my parents, around, I'm like, oh man, it's a 6-hour flight. Oh, geez. I was like, but there were no covered wagons involved. You got to go home. You see your people and then you go home again. People would leave and never see. I mean, honestly, we just, our expectations as human beings are just, we have accepted actual true magic into our lives and we don't even question it. In fact, we question it when it's not as magical as we want it to be. Anyway, back to this story about the magic slippers or whatever they are, the ruby slippers.
32 million, wait.
32 and a half million total because of this buyer's premium. I have no idea how they calculate that. It really feels like there should be a cap on that, but okay. So $28 million it has made this pair of ruby slippers the all-time record auction record holder for entertainment memorabilia. The previous holder of this record was the halter dress worn by Marilyn Monroe in 1955's The Seven-Year Itch. How much was that record?
$10 million.
$10,001,000.
Vinny, you're the winner. $5.5 million. We went from a record of $5.5 million to a record of $28 million. Like, what is the next thing that's going to sell for that? Although then there was a baseball player who got a $700 million contract. Money has no meaning anymore.
Meanwhile, the owners of baseball, and I love baseball. I actually really enjoy watching a game. I love going to a game. But meanwhile, the owners and the whatever he is.
General manager?
Yeah, no, not the general manager. Who's the guy, the one guy in charge? Like it used to be
Baseball commissioner?
Yeah, the commissioner. They're in meetings trying to figure out, how can we get people to watch our game again? How can we do that? And so they've been shortening the games because you don't have 4 hours 160 times a year to just lose into a baseball game. But so they've sped up the game some, and now they're coming up with new and kooky ideas. That's one of the things that had the guys down the hall all fired up. The golden bat was this new idea that they've pitched.
What's the golden bat?
The golden bat's this pitch where they go, batting order's a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You put your order in, you report it, and that's how it's going to be. They have a golden bat, which means you can pull someone out of order and put them in position one time a game for a key at bat.
That'd
be kind of fun.
Which is crazy. And all the people who've watched baseball their whole lives are like, you can't mess with the batting order.
No.
And everybody who's young is like, baseball. And everybody who's, you know, got money, you know, invested in it are like, yeah,
golden
that
bat.
Might work.
Yeah, golden bat.
It might make make for interesting moments.
I did not hear that. That is like unholy, heretical. Like
And yet, here's a game
that no one's watching anymore.
That less people watch until you get to the playoffs. Those are still pretty widely. I enjoy the playoffs.
How about a shorter season and more playoffs? How about that?
How are they going to pay this guy $765 million if they shorten the season? They can't.
They can't. Also, how are they ever going to be able to afford to hire anyone else?
That's a problem.
Oh my God.
But this kid is great.
Back to Wicked. I want to make sure I get this in because we talked about it briefly. Wicked.
I saw it, everyone.
It's a movie that Vinny went and saw.
And loved.
I liked it. Yeah, I really did. I mean,
if it didn't have so much singing in it, would you love it?
If you knew me, no, the songs are good and they didn't take away from
they furthered the plot.
I didn't feel like the whole movie stopped down and we're just going, oh, for crying out loud. This person has to do their solo.
Mm.
It didn't feel like that. Mm. It all rolled together nicely. And I'm telling you, when they told me it's 2.5 hours, I went, I am bleeped. And then it just rolled. It was over and I went, oh,
I love that. I can't wait till next year.
Vinny is a musical guy.
I don't know, but I did.
Vinny is a musical guy. Vinny is a musical. Vinny is a musical.
Vinny.
I really liked Wicked, I have to admit.
Okay. Did you cry at the end?
I did not cry at Wicked.
Oh. Donnie Wahlberg cried his eyes out. And so, like a good wife does, Jenny McCarthy got her phone, recorded it, and put it on the internet.
That sucks.
It's awesome.
Jenny.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Finished Wicked. Which one of us is bawling their eyes out?
Don't do it.
Bawling. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Okay. Oh my God, it's so good.
It's good. I'm telling you.
Sure you're okay?
She's a mean lady.
Yeah. This makes me want. It makes me want to see it. It makes me want to go and watch it today.
You should. You'll like it.
Well, maybe I want to see it with John though. Maybe I'll. He's golfing today. Maybe I'll drag him out tomorrow.
When I saw the movie If, which is recent,
right. Yeah,
like this year.
You love If.
I loved it, and
that's imaginary friend.
Yes, and Christina was like, "That's the new record. You were crying like I've never seen you cry so fast into a movie."
What about Up? It beats Up.
I didn't cry it Up. Oh. I didn't have kids at Up.
Oh, that's why.
I didn't have kids when I saw Up. I did love Up, and it's one of my all-time favorite movies. If I were making a top 10, I think Up would be in there. But, yeah, I didn't cry at that. I didn't have that. Something happened when I had kids that changed.
The dam broke.
Yeah.
The dam burst.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started crying, but you didn't cry at Wicked. Well, Donnie Wahlberg was a mess at Wicked.
Yeah, I think the video is on.
Oh, yes, it's up on the Facebook page. Yeah, Sarah and Vinny Facebook page.
I mean, he is like.
He's sunk he is down and he's like, blowing his nose, yeah. And his hands are just, oh my God, it's hilarious. And there's Jenny McCarthy going, are you seeing this? Because this is what I'm sitting next to.
Yeah,
guy.
I didn't think it was that. I mean, I know the scene and I know the end, and yet I don't feel like that was the moment to cry.
Maybe he just felt like, you know, wow, what I've just seen. He is a musical guy, right? I mean, he's a musician.
Yeah.
So maybe he was just like, that was like so perfect. I don't know. I guess I'll have to test it out on my own. Go check that out tomorrow. What's coming up in the news, Vincent?
Lots of stuff, including peas on pizza more after these.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Oh, look at that.
Alice at
97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Listen live, contest, and the podcast all at RadioAlice.com.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill, San Bruno, San Mateo, Newark, and San Jose, and their new spot, Cantina Jackson, Pleasant Hill.
Well,
enjoy fantastic food and great vibes. Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Jack's.
Sounds awesome.
You should see plenty of sunshine today, but enjoy it. Rain in the forecast beginning Wednesday. Depending on where you're at, we'll have it for as much as 5 straight days.
Yeah,
some spots in the South Bay will see it sporadic. Others will be locked in.
Well, that's what we need this time of year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a surprise.
Yes, we need the rain.
Yeah.
So the Niners looked like the Niners yesterday. The 49ers beat the Chicago Bears 38-13.
Jeez, that's quite a difference in scoring.
Our division is so stupid because Seattle, they won, and so they're above us, and then the Rams won and beat the Bills of all people. And the Bills were supposed to get us that win, and they didn't.
Thanks for nothing, Bills.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, Bills.
Although I have to say,
of Buffalo.
I definitely was like, yeah, I get them.
Get who? Get what?
The Bills are in my division.
Oh,
John's division.
Don't ever say that again.
I have to. I was like, yes, they're getting squashed. And they were getting crunched, and they started to come back.
Oh, it was close.
Yeah. But it was a really high-scoring game.
Yep. I think it was the highest-scoring game of the season.
Oh, wow. Was it like 38-33? Was that the final?
I don't have the score of the Rams game because I don't care about the Rams.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was...
Stupid Rams.
I just hate the Bills.
Monday Night Football tonight is Cincinnati at Dallas, 5:15 game time.
Sounds great.
So there's that.
Thank you for that.
So how about a fast fact?
I love fast facts. You know that, Vinny. Fast.
Green peas are popular on pizza in Brazil.
Oh, well, listen, I'll try it, but that doesn't seem like a good combo.
Green peas. So you take a perfect pizza pie, then you throw green peas on it.
I've had it.
Get
Have
out!
You?
Yeah.
What'd you ruin a pizza for?
It was actually kind of good.
No.
What's good about it, though?
I love
it's got
peas.
Peas. Oh, well, I do like frozen
peas too.
With butter and salt.
I just say don't knock it until you try it.
Have you had deer on pizza?
Oh, hell yeah, he has. Kid me, treat yourself around deer sausage.
Like, what are they doing in West Virginia?
It's Appalachian
pepperoni. You got
pepperoni.
Overflow of deer bologna.
Our big thing is we make hot dogs and put coleslaw on them and chili.
I'm in. That sounds delicious.
That's the West Virginia hot dog.
A West Virginia hot dog. Oh, man. I should have a hot dog party and we could like have all the different ways to make them.
Coleslaw.
And chili.
And chili.
Sounds great.
On a hot dog.
On a hot dog.
Well, chili is very normal on a hot dog, so I'm not surprised by that.
And chili and coleslaw go great together.
They do?
Sure, I think so.
Mm. It's very tasty. Okay. And pepperoni rolls. That's our big thing, pepperoni rolls.
Pepperoni roll?
That's the West Virginia, like, official. Like,
so
anytime somebody comes to West Virginia.
You take the pepperoni stick out.
No, you take slices of pepperoni, and you they're inside of a really nice, soft bun. And they used to give it to miners. What the miners used to take into the mines were pepperoni rolls because you can just eat them.
Miners, like coal miners.
Coal miners,
not young people.
Young people
and
miners.
There's a huge Italian population in West Virginia, and a pepperoni roll.
A pepperoni roll. That actually sounds delicious.
It does.
It's like those pork buns that you get, you know, in various
I'll make some pepperoni rolls sometime and bring them in.
Does it need a little coal on it, though? I mean, is that a little
dusting,
dirt?
A little dusting
coal?
And dirt.
That adds a little spice.
Put a little Sue from Survivor face on there.
Antarctica is technically considered a desert, which makes it the largest desert on the planet.
Is it because it's the tundra?
Just don't ask questions. They're fast facts.
I know, but what? How is that a desert?
It's the word grima.
Never heard of it.
Describes the feeling you get when you hear fingernails on a chalkboard or a knife scratching a plate.
Mm.
Grima.
How do you spell that?
Grima.
It's like a teeth clacker. It's like a...
Grima would be two M's, I think.
Yeah.
But
I like grima.
Grima.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Pronouncenames.com.
Oh, sorry.
I hate this.
Grima.
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 I'm surprised, but okay. Grima.
It sounds foreign. But that is absolutely, there's like a with certain sounds.
And this that's actually Italian, sorry.
Grima.
Grima.
Oh,
they don't have the pronunciation for your version.
On, I'm gonna look
they
it up
don't?
Right. No, Grima means mask helmet. I don't know.
What?
Let's move on. They're fast facts.
I'm looking this up. Hold on.
Professional scratchers, by the way, talk about scratching a chalkboard. There's something called a professional scratcher. Just like you would go to a masseuse and get a massage, you can go get your back scratched.
Oh, you're saying this is not a chalkboard scratcher. This is a person who will give you a body scratch.
You go in, take your top off, lay on your tummy, and have your back scratched. $100 an hour. People are willing to pay for a scratching. You into it? Why are you making that do? You hate it?
No, I love back scratch. And John loves a back scratch, and we do that. That's a sex thing for us, is back scratching. Scratching.
So just like for me.
Scratching down arms, scratching back, scratching up your neck, scratching shoulders, scratching ribs.
Okay, we got it. Scratching everything. Scratch when the kids come, it like ruins the whole we're going to go and do a thing. Like I used to do, like we'd put on music. I'd give her a nice long massage. Yeah. Somewhere along the way, I'd be naked too, and then we end up doing it. It was a thing. You're telling me the scratching, is that the beginning or the lead-in for sex, or is that just...
No, it sometimes happens. That's all. Mm. But it feels so good that that I'll be like, okay, let's do something else.
Do you scratch so hard you leave marks?
No. But...
Really?
No, not on purpose, but it's more of like a light touch scratch, but then he'll be like, dig in. I'll dig my fingers in. But you got it. It's honestly, it has to do with how recently you cut your nails. Like, you can't have just cut them because they're so sharp.
Is it like I'm asking this honestly, so don't get weird, but yeah. Is it like a foreplay thing or
no,
is it during?
It's like, sometimes it's a standalone. Sometimes he comes over, he pulls off his shirt and he leans over and stretches his back and I just go at it and do the scratching. And then he'll direct me, you know, do this section, do that, so go down the arms, whatever.
But does that get him to attention?
It probably would if I pushed it further. But sometimes it's just that. Sometimes it's just, oh my God, the relief of a back scratch. Like it feels so good. But it's like I don't know. Like when I clean my ears out with a Q-tip, it's like an eargasm. It feels really, really good. But I never like bring a Q-tip into the bedroom, you know.
Well, no one's going to pay $100 an hour to Q-tip someone's ear.
You'd be surprised.
Gross.
People are into everything, man.
That is true.
They'll pay for anything.
All right.
I know you're looking at me like I might be the Q-tip guy. No.
No,
you're not
I'm
a Q-tip
not.
Guy?
I'm actually just,
are you a scratch guy? Are either of you scratch, like want your back scratched? Like, you know, really?
Any female touch
and just
is
a touch,
welcome.
I see. Right.
Yeah, I'm probably, you know... I'm in that category. I think I've never gone, you know what I need? A good back scratching.
Really?
But never.
Even if you have like an itch right in the middle of your back and like, you know, you pull your t-shirt up around your neck and then you just like go at it.
I generally don't get headaches and I generally don't get a scratchy, an itchy back.
Huh.
I just don't.
Yeah.
My
back is so itchy. You gotta do it. I actually think the more you scratch something, the itchier it becomes more regularly. Like it gets tuned to that.
No. Mm. Oh.
Because right now I could use a back scratch.
I just cut my nails, sorry.
Yeah, no, I wasn't asking either of you. I just told you it's like a sex thing for me. I mean, it isn't really, but it kinda is too.
Well, whatever works to get you two sort of, you know,
going
with each other.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing. I don't know this Pantone.
Oh, the color people?
Yeah, the color people. Pantone revealed its color of the year for 2025.
All right.
Now, listen, I want to preface this real quick, if I could. If you're of a certain age, you grew up with this color in such an intimate way, like on an everyday basis, to the point where you probably still love this color. And you don't even realize it but you probably wouldn't. Okay, here we go. Pantone revealed its color of the year for 2025.
Oh, the upcoming year.
Brown.
Oh, brown. I love brown.
I love brown. Yeah. I grew up with it in such a way through the 70s and into the 80s. My house was carpeted in dark brown. Mm. There were
dark brown's a good color for carpeting.
Browns and
golds.
Burnt oranges and golds all over the house.
Like that burgundy color that was, and then avocado. There were like a set of colors that started
the background
with brown.
Behind my apps on my phone is brown.
Why? You just picked that color?
Because I grew, I'm telling you.
That color you just showed me is the exact color of my walls in my living room and the walls in my
That color.
It looks like it's like a dark milk chocolate. It's not quite dark chocolate. It's not quite milk chocolate. It's like a dark chocolate. Dark
brown.
Medium.
Dark. I love it.
Yeah. My bedroom too.
The specific.
Not my bedroom. John's bedroom. My bedroom's dark blue.
The specific shade, color of the year, as announced by Pantone, is Mocha Mousse.
Oh,
which
Mocha
is
Mousse.
Somewhat lighter than an actual brown.
Mocha Mousse, huh?
Mocha Mousse, look it up. For the record, Pantone describes it as a warming brown hue.
Let's have a look at Mocha Mousse. It's definitely brown. Like, if you looked at that, you'd just go, well, they're not showing me the exact color. Usually it's just a straight plate of the color. You know what I mean? It looks like a chocolate mousse. It's that brown color. Oh, here it is. Here it is.
Oh, fudge.
I'm sorry.
It does look like fudge.
It does.
Actually.
I love it.
Yeah, I do too. It actually is a fudge. It looks like milk chocolate. Mocha mousse. Ugh.
Yeah, so I don't know if the young people of today will be like, screw brown. I sure don't think that, you know, anything at Jane's house is decorated in brown.
Well, she's like, if you're going to go brown, go all the way to
black. We're going black. Yeah, what are you, crazy? Anyway, brown, everyone. Mocha mousse.
Jane paints the walls in her house black? Like, does she have a color theme?
Jane is a tricky one.
She is a tricky one.
She'll I can see Jane looking purple.
I think she'll, purple. I can see burgundy. I could see.
Yes, like blood colors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, blood, wine, roses.
There's stuff that she'll just not even acknowledge you talking to her about, you know, sex or anything about her, you know.
Yeah, she's all like, okay, I have to go.
Bye.
It's
but
Jane,
if,
bye.
If you're talking about decorating or I bet she would tell us if there's what the color of the walls at her house are.
She might just be a white walls girl. Like then she can put whatever kind of art she wants. There's no clashing.
Well, get to the bottom of if you would
Well,
mind.
I'm doing it right now by talking about it on the air. JD, are you listening or what? It's Jane. Her ears start burning and she turns on the radio.
She runs for her Odyssey app.
Odyssey.
Okay, one more story.
We do have a busy week this week. I'm ready.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So I think that she should be up and at him. She might be busy, though.
A Florida man made a 20-foot tall version of the leg lamp from A Christmas Story.
Oh.
In my neighborhood, the decorating is not only on, it's almost complete.
Oh.
Like we've hit.
You're already
the
that
neighborhood
house.
Got hit hard.
Well, it's only 2 weeks to Christmas. Really.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And a lot of them, they roll out light and then they continue to add until.
Can't put it all out in one day.
All of a sudden you realize, wow. That thing is unbelievable.
Wow, wow, wow.
Christina did most of our house on Saturday.
Oh. Do you have to get up on top and hang
She was at as we.
Oh, she did it.
No, not the roof. I have to go do that later today.
I got it. All right.
Or whenever she says it's time to go do that. Yeah. But I made lunch while she did the decorating. And so I brought out here's some food, the kids, I got them fed. And then I went back to my room and play guitar.
It's 1 o'clock.
What? Hmm? Probably, but I, you know, either way.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do that
to
me.
It is nice to be able to go, oh yeah, okay, you do that. I'm going to go make sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you are doing something, but it doesn't involve any peril. I mean, you're handling a knife, I guess.
Well, no, the stuff that they did was on the ground. There's no peril at all. It's just that she's got an idea of what she wants to do, and I don't.
So you didn't want to take direction? You said, I'll go make food.
I'll make food. You guys do your thing. And the girls all did a great job. And then later that day, we went and saw Wicked. And then after that, we came home and did the tree.
Oh, what a day. All that was all in one day?
That was all Saturday, everybody.
What do you do when you're decorating your tree? Like, do you have a movie you watch? Or music?
Hot cocoa, gotta have the music blasting.
We didn't have any of that stuff. You know, that was a very busy day. Yeah. In fact, Christina was like, the kids were all frothy, like, we gotta get the tree done. And I'm sure if Christina had her way, she would have said, the tree and the movie were enough for me for one day.
The decorating the movie.
She rallied. And, the decorating the front. Yes, but the tree, we got it done. So there was no movie. There was some music, but we just got it done and took some pics. All right, everyone.
Get the ladder out and let some. Who got to put a star at the top of the
tree?
She
did.
Oh, Christina.
Yes.
Oh.
I got a picture of that as well.
Oh.
Nice. It's good fun.
Where do you set up your tree?
In the front room.
Oh, you do?
Right when you walk in.
In the living room.
The place where there used to be a camel wall that's now that stupid camel wall.
It's a pony wall.
Whatever it is, that dumb thing got removed.
Right. And now you can flow right through.
Are way better for it.
That's so great. What a relief must have been to get that thing out of there.
Back to decorating. Mm. This guy's name is J.P. McCulloch, and he built the 20-foot tall version of the leg lamp from A Christmas Story. And this is in Florida. So, you know, these decorations are the only way to get any kind of Christmas vibe. Yeah. Otherwise, it's pink flamingos
and palm trees.
And, you know, that sweat down the middle of your back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom was like, God, it was so cold yesterday. It was like 60. I'm like, oh, God.
This thing's 20 feet tall.
Mm.
It's in his front yard, so you can't miss it. They say it's 420% bigger than the one in the movie.
Oh, my.
420.
Oh.
It sounds like a shout out to Doobie Weed, but maybe not.
Might actually just be 420% bigger.
He said he used golf netting for the fishnet stocking.
Oh, funny.
Here's a picture of it. I'll show it to you.
Yeah, let me have a look here. Oh, that's great. That's right. Look at that. He nailed it. Holy cow.
It's a big part of the movie, right?
Well, it's right there. Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
Right up there with the, BB gun or something?
Air rifle.
What? You don't watch that every Christmas morning?
No.
I don't watch it every, I've only seen it
every
times,
Christmas
too.
Morning. That's
really?
They run it like continuously on TBS.
Oh.
Like that is my tradition. Wake up, put that on, watch that movie all morning.
My kids love that movie. Air soft rifle, air something.
It's a Red Ryder carbon action air rifle.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
I got one that year.
I believe you. Well, every kid begs for one, and then they're like, what do we do? I'm like, kill squirrels. And they're like, kill things? That seems wrong.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. 510 says, Vinny, take a picture. I did. I posted pictures of my tree and us decorating already on Instagram. I mean, they were on my story, so they're probably gone by now, but follow me on
Instagram. You snooze, you lose, people.
If you follow me on Instagram, you'd see that stuff.
Vin Hassan.
When Vinny says we decorated the tree, is it like the rest of the decorating was done or did he help? I did not put one ornament on a tree, but I was with them the whole time. I took pictures of everybody.
You were the photographer.
Yes.
Mm.
Mostly we have too many ornaments and mostly they're too heavy for every branch that's there. So it's one of those things where you're like, this isn't going to work. Put that away.
Mm.
Don't you have too many?
I don't. I actually...
You threw them away.
I've pared down a lot. But I have ones like from my childhood. So those ones aren't going anywhere. They are ratty. My tree always looks like crap, but I don't care because it's like full of memories. Stuff my kids made. Stuff from my childhood. What is
209
it?
Says, Brazilian here.
Peas on pizza.
Along with peas on pizza, Brazilians also smother their pizza with mayonnaise and ketchup. They have both on every table.
Is it because you guys are bad at making pizza? Why would you put that on? Why? Are you trying to hide the taste of delicious, delicious pizza?
Mayonnaise and ketchup are there just like we would use peppers and Parmesan cheese.
Oh my God. It's just Brazilians, you have it wrong. I'm so sorry. You got that one wrong.
Ketchup. You already have tomato sauce in there.
Right. And ketchup. Ugh.
Mayonnaise is good on everything.
Not on pizza. It doesn't stop it. It turns into oil. When it's warmed up, it just becomes
you dip the crust in it and then...
You like that?
I do that with French fries and a lot of things.
You know what I do with the crust on pizza? I pour olive oil into a little bowl and then I take sea salt and crumble it on top and I dip my pizza.
You're fancy. Mm-hmm.
It's not fancy. It's just delicious.
Oh, you're fancy.
I actually like to save my pizza crust. I'm like, I'm not eating that. I'm waiting until I have something to dip that in.
What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
The most heartwarming thing I have seen all year after this.
My God.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Oh, look at that.
Alice at 97.3.